Now I'll focus on communities from around the globe. We've been focusing on Africa up until this point, and we've discussed a number of countries. The final one that we looked at was Mali, and great insight in that regard. We move on now beyond the African continent. We join on the line from Port Elizabeth by Maulana Yusuf Behmat. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Maulana, how are you this evening?
Alhamdulillah, very, very well, alhamdulillah.
How's the weather down in PE?
Alhamdulillah, we've been having good weather. Today was quite hot, alhamdulillah. So we've been having good weather, alhamdulillah.
Have you been making regular trips to the beach to cool down?
Unfortunately, I haven't had that pleasure, but hopefully, inshallah, we will be able to do so once things get a bit quieter, inshallah.
Inshallah. We look at Yemen this evening, Maulana.
Yes, inshallah, ta'ala. Today, inshallah, we'd like to look at Yemen. We've just completed, as you said, Muqtazab, Africa. And I hope that for the listeners, Africa or the history of Islam in Africa and Islam there today was as educational and enjoyable and you know, really wonderful to learn as it was for myself. And inshallah ta'ala, tonight inshallah we would like to focus on Yemen. And focusing on Yemen, we'll obviously begin with the history of Islam in Yemen. And then, inshallah ta'ala, maybe in the next program we can discuss Islam in Yemen today. So, looking at the country of Yemen, Yemen is a country today with very little influence in world politics or in today's world. It doesn't really, you know, play a major role in the world today. And I suppose, unfortunately, for many of us, it only conjures up pictures of poverty, of desert, of bombing, from what we hear from the news. But the annals of history bear testimony that to a very different picture in the days gone by. One of wealthy kingdoms with seafarers dominating the most important sea trade routes around the world, and with Yemeni traders who had a zeal to disseminate the wonderful religion of Islam which the tribes had accepted. It was Yemen has always been the cradle of Arab civilization. Many of the tribes which are found in what we know as Saudi Arabia today have originally come from Yemen. And even the Ansar, the tribes in Medina who were there when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had made Hijrah, those tribes were originally from Yemen. So Yemen was the cradle of Arab civilization and had a wonderful history. If you look back at, you know, the ancient history of Yemen, Yemen had a very prominent role in the world at the time. It is one of the oldest inhabited regions in the world. The inhabitants of the time there, they were very wealthy, a very hard-working nation, and they were great traders as well. So they were the natural middlemen for sea trade going from east to the west, and therefore the inhabitants of Yemen were very wealthy. And it wasn't only the merchants on the coast who were very wealthy, but those that lived inland in the cultivated valleys, they survived on seasonal streams which ran through the desert. And these people were wealthy people and powerful people as well. The streams that had sustained the sophisticated terraced agriculture in the surrounding mountains, that brought a lot of wealth to the people there. And they were a wealthy people, they were a powerful people, and they influenced a large number of other places in the region as well. Many of us might have heard of the very famous Sadd al-Ma'rib, or the very famous Ma'rib Dam. This was fed from these streams which we just talked about. And Ma'rib was the capital of the kingdom of Saba. And Saba, this place called Saba, this was the center and the heart of ancient Yemen. And it was the most important political unit of that era. So the city of Ma'rib, it was strategically important because of it being on the edge of this very great desert and very close to the Indian Ocean as well. And this was the route which was very well known for the frankincense, or, you know, like this sweet smelling type of products which people used to use in the temples. So when they, in times gone by, the pagan people, idol worshipping people, whenever they would have festivals they would use a very heavy perfume, frankincense, and they would use it in the rituals, in the different public festivals, or for medicinal purposes. So this frankincense used to pass by this route, and that's what made this particular region very, very important and strategic, and made it very rich as well. So all of this happened before Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, before Common Era, in the time before that. And the story of Bilqis alayhi salam, the queen of Saba of that particular region, and she lived, Allahu A'lam, but it is recorded that she lived 10 years before Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, or obviously could be before that as well, in terms of Islamic history with Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. So whatever it is in ancient times, and her story and her acceptance of Islam or monotheism at the hands of Sulaiman alayhi salam, that should be quite well known to all our listeners from Surah An-Naml. Those of us who have read the tafsir of Surah An-Naml or who have heard it would be quite familiar with the story of Bilqis. And this all occurred in Yemen at this place called Ma'rib, which is basically virtually in the center of the country of Yemen today. So that is in terms of ancient history. If you move 10 or 15 centuries later, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the year that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, there was the very famous incident and that year became known as the year of the elephant. So what had happened was, a few centuries before the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, possibly in the 4th century, the kingdom in Ethiopia. So we know we are speaking about Yemen, and right across the coast, and if you do remember, we spoke that between the coast of Yemen and that of Ethiopia, and that of Africa, the distance is only 30 kilometers, so it's very, very close. And that Babul Mandab Straits is the little bottleneck which the ships coming through the Suez have to go through. So Ethiopia and Yemen are very close regions, and being only 30 kilometers, there was a regular trade, and seafarers used to travel there very often, or daily, I would suppose. And the people in Ethiopia in the 4th century, they accepted Christianity, and they converted to Christianity. And after this happened, the ruler in Yemen, his name was Zu Nawas, and he was partly Christian, but his mother was of Jewish descent. And because of that, he accepted the religion of Judaism as his official religion, and he started persecuting the Christian minority who are now staying in Yemen as well. So they had obviously, Christianity had spread from Ethiopia into Yemen, and he began persecuting them. So the superpowers of the time were the Romans, and the Roman Empire, they were Christian, and they decided to arm their ally, who was now the Ethiopian kingdom of Aksum. And if you do remember, we spoke about the kingdom of Aksum when we spoke about Ethiopia, and the Najashi used to be the king of that kingdom. So this kingdom of Aksum now, they are armed by the Romans, and they now go into Yemen to topple the ruler. And they send ships to them, and they succeed in toppling him to the dismay of the Persian Sassanids. So we have Persia, we have the Sassanid kingdom, and they had fostered ties with the Jews in Yemen and with the pagans to curb the Roman influence. So we have two major powers. We have the Persians in the east, we have the Romans in Europe, and both of them are now fighting for domination of the world. And that's why they had armed, and they had fostered ties with their proxies, and the battle ensued, and Zu Nawas was toppled. And just a little point to note out, it's really strange how history seems to be repeating itself today, with Yemen caught up again in another proxy war with Persia in the east, and Saudi Arabia and other countries in the west. But in any case, this is what happened, and with the toppling of Zu Nawas, the Aksumite kingdom of Ethiopia, they invade Yemen, and now Christianity becomes the religion in Yemen. And Yemen becomes a colony of theirs. So this happens in the year between 522 to 580. And one of these Christian governors, his name was Abraha, and he wanted to establish, now that they have this kingdom, this Christianity in their land, he wanted to establish a grand church to become the religious center for Arab pilgrimage. And obviously for religious reasons and possibly for economic reasons, because being the home of pilgrimage, a lot of wealth comes into that area with everybody coming there. And Makkah was known for that at the time, for the pagan pilgrimage. And he now goes and marches on to Makkah with an elephant or two or maybe more. And the story of his defeat is very well known, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in Surah Al-Fil, where Allah ta'ala speaks about the destruction of Abraha and his army. So this year became known as the year of the elephant. So Abraha was from Yemen, Sana'a, where it is today, the capital in that region, and from there he had moved north. So what happened later, just to fill us in, that the Persians then defeated the Christians in the year 575, and they took charge of Yemen until the arrival of Islam. So there are two major incidents that we come across in the Quran, which relate to the ancient Yemen or Yemen prior to Islam. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is born, and 40 years later when he becomes the Nabi and he starts preaching Islam, then in the year 6 years after Hijrah, so very soon after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes the Hijrah, sixth year after Hijrah, the Persian governor of Yemen, so we said the Persians had now taken over Yemen, so the Persian governor, his name was Badhan. And he accepts Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he becomes the first Islamic governor in Sana'a. So very early on in Islamic history, Yemen now becomes a part of the Islamic empire. And in the very same year, in the year 60 after Hijrah, many other tribes all over Yemen begin to accept Islam. And interestingly, the very first masajid were built in Yemen already between the years 6 and 8 years after Hijrah. So before Fath Makkah, there were masajid in Sana'a, in Ta'iz, and in Zabid as well. So Yemen has a very, very close tie to the early stages of Islam. And so now we have tribes accepting Islam in Yemen, and then messengers from the Yemeni governor request Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to send the teachers to them to teach them Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he commissions a group of du'at, of sahaba, who will now go to Yemen and teach the people about Islam. So he makes the very famous Sahari Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu the Amir. And the very famous dialogue ensues between Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which are very well known to all the students of fiqh, where he asks Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, according to what will you judge when you go to Yemen? So he replies, according to the Book of Allah. And he says, if you find nothing therein, meaning if it is something new which you come across, then he says, according to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says, if you don't find anything which I have mentioned to you, then he says, I will exert myself, meaning it's too hard to form my own judgment. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very pleased with this reply, and he says, praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has guided the messenger of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to that which pleases the Prophet of Allah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he personally bids farewell to Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. And you know, Mu'adh radiallahu anhu is a sahabi whose name has become synonymous with Islam in Yemen because of the very wonderful work which he did once he went to Yemen. Because he was obviously very sad when he left Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because when he departed, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that, oh Mu'adh, perhaps you shall not meet me again after this year, and when you return you will possibly only see my masjid and my grave. And for that, Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he wept profusely, and there was obviously a feeling of sadness and desolation which overtook him, and he left Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when he went to Yemen, he did such great work in terms of spreading the deen of Allah, in terms of teaching the people, that the people of Yemen are forever indebted to him. And it was not only him, but another very famous sahabi, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was also sent to Yemen. He was also one of those who had brought Islam to Yemen, and this happened in the tenth year after Hijrah, in the month of Ramadan. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was sent to Yemen, And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua and said, "Oh Allah, you put truth, please put truth on the tongue of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and enlighten his heart with the light of guidance." And then he put a turban on his head and he gave him the black standard and he bid him farewell. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu had gone there as a da'i, one to spread the deen of Allah, as well as a qadi. He was made the qadi of Yemen during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the people of Yemen are indeed blessed to have had great sahaba coming to teach them the deen. And they themselves were wonderful people. And in the hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, it is narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the people of Yemen possessed the softest of hearts, hum alyanu quluban. And then he said, al-imanu yamaniyan, wal-hikmatu yamaniyatun. That al-imanu yamaniyun, that iman is to be found in the Yemeni, among the Yemeni people, meaning that they have displayed true iman. And true hikmah and wisdom have been displayed by these people. And a number of incidents had prompted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say that. And one of them was the tribe of Hamdan, there were 20,000 people. And the entire tribe of 20,000 people had accepted Islam in one day. So in one day, 20,000 people had accepted Islam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for the people of Sham and as well as the people of Yemen. He said, "Allahumma barik lana fi Shamina, Allahumma barik lana fi Yemenina." And he had made dua for barakah for the people of Yemen. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive, Islam was alive in Yemen as well. And upon the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the people were all Muslim. And when the Khilafah of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu began, we know that there were a few wars of Riddah, where some of the tribes had now renegated and had decided not to pay the zakat. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu had sent troops against them, and from Yemen 20,000 people were sent to serve in the army of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu to bring Islam back to the people there and to obviously take Islam to the people of Syria and Iraq as well. Also after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a very famous person whom you might have come across as well, whose name was Uwais al-Qarni. And during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had mentioned that there is a man in Yemen whose name is Uwais. And the only reason that prevents him from joining us is the fact that he is caring for his mother who is ill. And he is the best of tabi'een. And if you meet him, request him to make dua for your forgiveness. Subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had asked the sahaba to ask this man whom he has never met to make dua for the forgiveness of these great sahaba. So you can imagine the status of Uwais radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he himself was from Yemen as well. And Islam had spread and taken a firm root in Yemen. And many other people came to conquer Yemen. Different dynasties had come over the years and had a very long history. And the people of Yemen themselves had been very instrumental in spreading the deen of Islam to many parts of the globe. If you look at, we discussed the east coast of Africa from Mogadishu and Kiliman and all of these places going down. So all of these places, there were Yemeni traders who had brought Islam to that area. If you look at Indonesia and Malaysia, which inshallah we will discuss, there again it was Yemeni traders. If you look at the west coast of India, Gujarat, and particularly Surat, the town of Surat, which is on a river, many Yemeni traders had come to Gujarat, and even around the coast of India, or on the east coast, where Calcutta and Bangladesh is. So that area as well, Yemeni traders had brought Islam to that area as well. So alhamdulillah, through the barakah of iman of these people, they managed to spread the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to many places of the globe. And all of that was because of their trading along the different coasts of the different places. Looking on at the history of Yemen, many foreign powers had an interest in southwestern Arabia during all the different phases of its history. And it wasn't so much of a matter of ruling the country itself, but rather it was to control the trade routes which went and which passed through and around Yemen. Because Yemen was the key to the Red Sea, and it is a very strategic, place and country. So people who are up the coast, whether it was in Europe or rather in Cairo and Alexandria and or Constantinople, so those in the east or northeast of Yemen, them as well as the people in the west, or the people in the west as well as the people in the east, which were the Persians, all of them had wanted a peace or wanted to control Yemen so that they can control the trades which passed through it. And if you look at throughout the history of Islam, whether it was the Umayyads or the Abbasids, all of them had, had controlled and had ruled over Yemen. Further on in history, in the year 897, there was a man who is possibly from the progeny of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or his name is Yahya bin Hussein, and he apparently founded what is known as the Zaydi Imamate dynasty. So the Zaydi groups, they are a branch of Shiism. They are a very the branch of Shiism which is the closest to Sunni Islam, because they do not believe that the Imams are infallible or ma'asum, as the Twelvers believe. They believe that the Imams are chosen due to their merits. But nonetheless, he founded the Zaydi dynasty. So from that period onwards, the country was basically split into two. In the northern highlands, we had the Zaydis, and in the southern coastal regions, we had other groups or other dynasties who began to rule. So in the northern islands, northern highlands, the Zaydis began to rule, and they were in a place called Sa'da, and he had come there with 50 odd followers. And he began establishing the Zaydiya school of law, and this was the beginning of the Zaydi Imamate in Yemen. And they actually stayed on from that time right until the year 1962 in the Northern Highlands. They were there on their own. In the south, in the southern coastal regions along the Red Sea coast, along the Gulf of Aden, there were many different local dynasties. And they were often subjected to foreign invasions. They had people affiliated to the Fatimi Shia. They had occupied the north and south at one stage. You had the Sulayhis and the Zurayids. And the country was really unified for a long period of time. There were other people as well. There were the Ziyadids. There were the Najahids. The Najahids, they were the Ethiopian slaves who had overthrown the Ziyadids, who were their rulers. Later on, in the year 1174 to 1229, the Ayyubids had come in, and with Salah ibn Ayyubi, and actually it was his brother who had, whose name was Turan Shah, and he had managed to conquer the entire Yemen, bring it all under one unified Islamic rule, and alhamdulillah, after that, it stayed unified for a longer period of time. There were other dynasties, the Mahdis, the Zurayhids, Sulaymanids, and a number of all of them, and it ended in the 15th century with the Rasulids. And after that, the Ottoman Turkish rule began in the mid-16th century. After them, it was the British who controlled the seaport of Aden, or Aden as we say in English. And most of Yemen had remained divided with the Zaydis in the north, and the south was, as we discussed now, many different dynasties had taken over the south. If you look at the east of the country, we have the Hadramaut region. So Hadramaut was out of the main focus of these people. There wasn't really much economic benefit in it, so many people didn't really venture out that far into the desert. And they had maintained independence for most of Yemen's history, and they had established very strong links with India and with Indonesia. And inshallah, when we discuss Yemen and the Hadramaut region today, we will speak about how very influenced they are by the Indian and by the Indonesian culture as well. And lastly, just a little note that in terms of coffee, so if you look at coffee, coffee was introduced in the 16th century in the seaport, the Red Sea port town of Al-Mukka, or Mocha, as we know in English. And this became the most important coffee port in the entire world. Coffee had actually come from Africa, from Ethiopia, but these people began cultivating it on a very large scale, and this became the coffee capital of the world. So Al-Mukka, and that's where you get the Mokka coffee, I suppose, and that came now from this particular port and from this region, and from there it spread throughout the world, and that is how coffee came to the rest of the world, which was one of the benefits which had come from Yemen. So that's just something interesting for all the coffee lovers. And basically that will sum up, Mufti Saab,
yes,
the history of Islam in Yemen, how it came from ancient times to the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and through the more recent history. I obviously didn't elaborate on the different dynasties because I didn't think it to be that relevant for our topic today.
Yes, now we look forward to in our next session on your own experience and you know some of the modern day references to Yemen, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair for setting the platform for that, inshallah, and we look forward to taking the discussion further.
Jazakallahu khairan, Muftizab.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
That was Maulana Yusuf Bemat focusing on Yemen this evening, and he will continue the discussion and focus on various other aspects with regards to the Yemen. He's obviously traveled to a number of countries across the globe, and amongst that the Middle East, Yemen included. So we look forward to that in the coming days, inshallah. Bring us on to 24 minutes to 8.